Welcome to Lending Forward, a podcast where we're lending every bit of what we know to our listeners. From real conversations and lessons learned deep within the industry to education and forward thinking. Together, we're lending forward. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our channels and connect with us on www.atlanticbay.com. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSConsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 203, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23452. Welcome to another episode of Lending Forward. I'm your host, Taylor Ellard, and joining us again is the very one and only amazing lady and resilient woman, right? Right? Jen DeFazis. Yeah. Welcome, Jen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to just spend more time with you, Taylor. I love spending time with you.
You are so sweet. We love spending time with you. And you know how I reached out to you initially was, I think it probably was about a year ago, we spoke for the first time. And it was one of our top producers who reached out to me. Her name's Allie Dubois down in Charlotte, North Carolina. And she said, you've got to listen to Jen. She says, I am always listening to her podcast and learning so much from her. And ever since then, I have honestly looked up to you so much because you're not only an author, but you speak in front of thousands of people and with such confidence that I think any woman or person in sales at all can kind of just look up to. And we're just very, very lucky to hear from you. Tell us kind of where 2023 has gone for you. I mentioned your Resilient Women's Summit and what you found out there and what, you know, the rumblings in the world. But tell us, how has 2023 treated you thus far?
Yeah, well, it's gone fast. And I think for most people it is. We're all just surprised it's May already, although it doesn't feel like it. It's so cold here in Virginia, you know, in Northern Virginia right now, rainy, it's nasty, but, you know, it's gone by really fast. My daughter had a baby on Easter, so it's, he's only 3 weeks old. So that's kind of a fun thing. So it was just all moving up into that. I spent the entire month of March away from my house. I think I was here one day in March, just, you know, in LA speaking. And then my husband and I went on our 2 week, 40th anniversary cruise. And then we went back to, San Diego, and then I went to Phoenix, and then I finally came home. So a lot of speaking and just kind of pushing all that aside, waiting for the baby to come in April. But, just a lot of sharing of, everything that I share with everybody, you know, and I don't speak just to real estate or mortgage and real estate people. I speak globally. I speak to a lot of business owners and sales professionals just all around the world on, you know, how to scale their business, how to move it forward. And some people think when scaling that you have to be a certain level to then scale. It's not. You're scaling from the moment you have a business, unless you want to be the worker bee for the entire time, right? And I think that's the case with loan officers as well, is making sure that you're looking at how can I grow a team? How can I, you know, really walk into my genius and be able to do what I love to do instead of working in the minutia of what happens in our industry? And people sense that. And when you're right there, man, everything just goes really well when you're in the right position in your practice. So that's what I've been doing. I have a new book coming out in a couple weeks, days, 21 days. I'm looking at the watch here or the calendar. So 21 days, we have another book coming out. It's a Impact 2, Volume 2. So we have some great authors in there, some entrepreneurial celebrities in there as well. Yeah. And so we're excited about that. So that'll be number 21 in totality, between books I've written and compilations I've been in and that kind of thing. And, there's so much going on. I'm going to New York City in June. And I'm going to have my two books up on they call it a something Tron, but up in Times Square, my two books will be up there, Teletron or something. And I'm so excited about that too. So I'll be, you know, up there taking a picture of that and have some other fun. I have a big event coming up in couple weeks on the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th of May in Phoenix. And it's called Limitless. It's a 3-day workshop. So get yourself over there. That's just now. And then I'll slow down a little bit and then I'll pick up again in late August, September. Yeah, it's crazy. I don't feel like I've retired from mortgage lending because I'm not retired.
Right.
But it's a choice, you know, it's a choice that I want to do this. So
wow.
That's what I'm up to.
I know that's so much and you're so busy. And book number 21 in compilation with the rest, it's just, that's madness. So tell us, all right, give me a little skinny on Impact 2, just like one little something that's super impactful from Impact 2. If there's anything that you can give me, a little teaser.
Right. Well, first of all, if you got Impact 1, you know that Impact is an acronym book. And so every author writes a chapter on an acronym because we learn in acronyms. And this obviously came from, I was sitting on a coaching call myself and everyone started speaking in acronyms in their various industries. And I said, gosh, you know, we all speak in that. I wonder if we could have, you know, acronyms. And these aren't acronyms like the LE or the COD, you know, those types of things. This is business and philosophical and funny and wealth and wellness and spiritual. And some of them aren't even words. They're just, when in book one, there was TTE, talk to everybody, mm-hmm. everybody, TTE. And we learn from acronyms. We learn things, you know, when we can use acronyms in our world. So we all wrote a chapter and it's called Impact. It's inspiring, motivational, powerful acronyms for cognitive thinking. And that's what it stands for. And then this one, ironically, it's funny because I interview every author. We have a QR code at the end of the chapter and I bring the author off the pages and interview every author. And what's so funny about the difference between the first one and the second one is that regardless of what their topic is, everyone, I say, where are you going? You know, what's the vision for you in your life? And we have some mortgage people in this one, which is really exciting because we didn't before. And I said, where are you going? You know, where are you going in life, et cetera? And everyone is saying, I want to make an impact. It's the most hilarious thing. So people, I think, have changed over the pandemic and, you know, really are looking at what is that purpose-driven life? What is it that I want to achieve in my life? And so they're inspirational, you know, quick little reads. It's not a bathroom read. It's not a bathroom read. It's inspirational. Put it by your bed. Put it by your chair. Not that kind of a read, but right. It is inspiring. And it's pretty cool. So I'm excited.
You should be. I'm so excited for you. I can't wait for that launch. That's going to be amazing. I'll be sure to grab it. Tell us a little bit about when you're coaching folks right now. What are you hearing the most? And what kind? How can we kind of just in this quick 20 minutes be able to provide solutions for some of those issues at hand?
Yeah. I mean, it's a good question because look, volume's down regardless. And I know that there are some people that are out there killing it. In fact, a few of my clients are killing it too. And I'm trying to figure out what is it that they're doing that's different from the rest of the pack that aren't, you know, they're fine, but they're not, you know, there's a lot of whining and complaining going on. This is, you know, what's happening. And I think what you focus on ends up happening. So if you focus on being unstoppable, you'll be unstoppable. If you focus on the negativity, you know, you're going to start getting negative yourself. And I think that's the biggest challenge that I'm seeing in the mortgage space generally is, you know, get better, don't be bitter. And that's what I'm trying to do is we're trying to infuse a lot of mindset work, a lot of tactical pieces. And, you know, I always tell my clients, be ready for when happens. And I said this before COVID, I said, be ready for when happens. And a lot of people weren't ready. And so they had to develop their process and their systems to, because that's why everybody's working gazillion hours. We had all this volume plus a lack of systems by so many people. And now the operational side is taken care of, but now it's be ready for when happens, because when rates do drop, because they will, it's cyclical. I've been doing this for 40 years. You know, it will happen. Are you going to be ready? There are so many people that lost so many opportunities during COVID because they weren't ready for when happened. They were busy doing whatever came on their lap, but thank God it came on their lap. But how many more opportunities were lost? So that's what we're focusing on. Three things that we focus on. And I really just focus on this in my practice anyway. One is influence, increasing your influence, your expert, you know, expertness. I don't know what that word is. just increasing, you know, your market influence, make sure that everybody knows what your expertise is, elevate yourself so that you can walk into a room and not even open your mouth and people know who you are. So increasing that is number one. You can't be secret. And that requires a whole bunch of things that we work on in coaching. Number two is you've got to hone in on your relationships. Several months ago in the winter, I was saying, don't hibernate, hyper-focus. This is the time to hyper-focus. This is the time to be out there having real adult conversations with your partners. Real adult conversations to strategize on how we can function together when the when happens. Right. And then the third thing is lock in your systems, lock them in because, and I'm not talking about processing systems only. I'm talking about every system you have, all of those prospects, those thousands of pre-approvals that you've done, right? We lock that in so you can communicate with all those people. So those three things are the things that we are really, really focusing on.
I love it. I think they're all so important. And I think specifically the hyper-focusing on your influence, right? I just think that that's never going to change. You should always be doing that, you know? And I think that's the first thing too that falls by the wayside is the social media stuff when you get too busy, you know? I think there is so much value and it all just boils down to being top of mind. At the end of the day, that's really what it boils down to. And I think that for some people, you said it, it can't be silent. Everybody has to know what you do. If somebody in your family goes to another loan officer, it's because you weren't loud enough and proud enough of what you do. And there's something to be said. There's a fine line. We all know that line to be annoying, but to be able to, if you have a tool to reach out to them every single month, telling them how much equity they have in their home, they're never going to look another way. They'll always choose you. So I think that's where your systems piece really comes into play too. Having that process and your systems in place for when, not if, but when we'll see the dip, right? And or people come out of the woodworks at that point. You already have that in place. People already know you're there. They're only going to rely on you because you've been so in their face, but in a nice, humble way, obviously. What would you say? So, you know, what we have at play right now, are rates still semi higher, not high, but higher than they've been. And so it scares folks, right? And then you've got the folks who are, I don't want to sell because I don't want to lose this 3%, you know? So even if the low inventory is due to those who don't want to sell because of the rates, and then those who do come on, you know, we're trying to get buyers ready. Credit is at an all-time high, low because people have been racking up their credit cards with inflation being tough. So tell us, how are we coaching through? I'd like to cover two things. How are you coaching through low inventory, and how are you coaching through that conversation? Should we list our home? I don't know. I'm scared because I know I'm sitting on so much equity right now, but I'm also like, I don't want a 6.5, you know, I don't want that rate. So tell us, I know that's a long question. Just tell us kind of what you're thinking.
I get it. Because we have to talk about this all the time. This is part of what we're doing, you know, on a daily basis. And I think, you know, again, I'm going to go back to what I was doing when I was speaking about hibernating versus hyper-focusing, right? In the winter, right? So, and they come out, they're going to stretch, and everyone else has done everything. So you have to be in front of your clients. But the number one thing I said was educate your clients and educate your real estate agents. This is where, when you spoke to market influence, and keep me on track on this, I'm going to go to market influence and I'm going to be, you have to remind me what I was supposed to answer about, inventory. But part of influence is not just, I'm on social media. My coach, who I pay $45,000 for one day with him, $45,000 a day, has 1,300 followers on Instagram and makes over $1 billion. Right. It's not about the followers. It's about what you're engaging, you know, who you're engaging with and what you're educating and teaching them about. So I have a philosophy of one to many. My clients hear it all the time. Jen's one to many, right? We do one to ones, but you need to be out doing presentations everywhere, not just at real estate offices, not just at financial planners or attorneys, wherever you're doing that, but the Knitters Association of America, the whatever it is. it's client acquisition that we're most interested in. It's a numbers game in what we do. So that raises your influence out in the marketplace. The other part that raises your influence is being a student of your craft, being a student of our industry. Do you know? And this is one of the biggest challenges. And I have 53 clients that I work with. I challenged every one of them, and there were only three of them that could tell me what a blended interest rate was. And I said, you need to know this, because if you've got someone who's got a really low first mortgage and they've taken out a HELOC or a HELOAN, because many have, mm-hmm. and now inflation's there, they're going to want to refinance at some point. Right. And you need to know what that blended rate is to be able to sell, edu-sell them. I'll call it edu-selling, right? To edu-sell them on the fact that, you know, with this low interest rate and this high interest rate, you're actually paying X. And so getting a rate of Y is better for mm-hmm. you. Or, you know, it won't continue to go up on your HELOC side if inflation continues to go. So it's educating your clients and having adult conversations with them. And I mean that in the best way, but here's what we've been doing. Calling our clients and saying, hi, I hate the word checking in, by the way.
Right.
Don't like that. Hi, I was just thinking about you. And one of the things that I'm doing is, especially as we come up to halftime right now, we're coming up to half the year. What do? You go into the locker room and you figure out how to win the game.
Right.
What adjustments do you have? So here we are. You know, the reason I'm calling is I was just thinking about you. I wanted to reach out and talk about what's coming up in your life. Life events. People die, whether rates are high or low. People get born, whether rates are high or low. People get married. People get divorced. People retire. Everybody, they do things. We don't stop kids from graduating from high school or college. So life events happen. So we're calling all of our clients and saying, look, the reason that I'm reaching out to you is that, you know, for the balance of the year, we have some snipplings of the fact that rates might take a little bit of a nice dip. And I want to know what life events are coming up. Are you thinking about buying? Are you thinking about selling? Would you like to, if you could buy? Would you like to refinance and draw out your equity and pay off debt if that's what you want to do? Is your kid moving here? Are you getting married or whatever? So that I can prepare in advance and be ready for when that time happens. So that if you think you're going to be doing that in August, I'll just put a note here for me to contact you in August so that I can be there to help you through whatever that life event is. So right. That's the conversations we need to be having, not conversations of I'm calling my past clients, which, you know, I don't like that word. I call them alumni, but you call your past clients and say, hey, I'm checking in. Do you want to refinance? It's just bull. I mean, get past that. It's
right.
Stop it. Just stop it. Be of service to them. Serving and being of value is only good if it can be useful. You know, we can't provide value if it's not useful. So that's the conversation you'd be having with your clients. The conversation with your real estate agents is, how can I help you get more listings, educate your clients, have a seller seminar, a series of seller seminars to help them understand what is available out there so that they want to pull that trigger. And educating your real estate agent, understanding what's happening in the marketplace as well. And this all falls under mortgages under management, real estate under management. If you're truly going to be a manager of someone's mortgage or real estate, just like a financial planner is a manager of assets, then manage it. Don't just say you are and not make any phone calls to them. I have some very proprietary things in my coaching that I do that help help loan officers talk to listing agents, be able to work with them. But one thing I want to share with you is this. I think we all know, and I'm still finding people that don't. When you write a pre-approval letter, you should be contacting the listing agent. I think that goes without saying. You mm-hmm. need to contact the listing agent because they don't know what to say. You've had the phone call, right, where they go, hi, I'm just calling a letter. Are they qualified? And you're thinking, I wrote the letter. Yeah. Do they have good credit? I wrote the letter, right? But they don't know what to ask. So we came up with 7 or 8 or 12, I don't know, questions that listing agents can ask loan officers. Mm-hmm. But when there's a pre-approval letter, we deliver or provide the answers to those questions by initiating that phone call to the listing agent. So it's not just enough to call the listing agent in a pre-approval, but to take the lead in that relationship. So that's one thing to do. The second, obviously, if it goes under contract, is to call that listing agent and start that relationship to make sure that they know that you want to have a conversation with them, right? Mm-hmm. But here's where I think, and some people aren't even doing that. So if you aren't doing that, start doing that. Right. Here's another place I think where people are losing is if you're writing. I was just talking to a client of mine. He said, I've written over 150 pre-approval letters. And I said, okay, could you go through those letters and find out who the listing agent was for each one of those houses? And let's say there's, I don't know, let's say a certain percentage of them, let's say a third of them are same listing agent for some reason. But let's say you have 80 listing agents that you didn't have connections with and you want to make cold calls. Hi, I'm checking in. Do you have anybody that I can help you with? So write the letter, make the call to the listing agent. And then if it doesn't go through, call them back and say, oh, I'm so sorry that our contract didn't go through. But you know, I was so impressed with the way you did this and that. And we were really looking forward to working together. You know, I'd love the opportunity to sit down with you. Or you could say something like, do you think it would be prudent for us to sit down and see how I can help you get more listings? Do you think it would be a good strategy for us to sit to talk and figure out how we can work together and complement one another, or see if we have some common interest in working together, not a fit? Right. And now you have more opportunities, more lead opportunities with listing agents. What you do from there, you're going to have to figure out, right, what to do from there. But we have a very systematic approach to that, so that every listing that a listing agent gets, or every appointment, they win the appointment. And every time they have a listing, we work with them in marketing the property with them. And we work with the seller and actually get those pre-approval letters or pre-approvals for sellers as well. And so that allows us to be able to educate that seller on, hey, here's what the market looks like. Here's what's going to happen on the backside of this. You could wait, but I think, you know, and again, you have to run your numbers. You've got to, you know, whether you use Mortgage Coach, MBS Highway, a piece of paper, it doesn't matter.
Right.
You have to be a steward in this business to understand what those numbers really mean. It is not, I'm losing 3% and now I'm going to 6%. It is, how much equity do I have? What does that look like? Maybe I tap into that equity by leaving that home. Maybe I downsize, maybe I right size, maybe I improve my, I grow up to that. But then looking at, and I hate to say the cost of waiting, but it is the cost of waiting. It's a different type of cost of waiting. Right. But imagine, you know, that house that you want to buy that's $300,000 more, exponentially, it's going to increase in value when rates go down too. So let's wait for rates to drop and then for the house to go up another $200,000. And let's see what that payment looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to know your number. You have to be a steward. And this is where I say, this is where you're increasing and elevating your influence by delivering education.
Love it. I love it. It's so impactful. That was so good. I think it's important for people to be having those conversations. I think call reluctance is a big piece of that, but you just cannot have call reluctance in this business. And you don't need to look at it as a cold call it is merely just, hey, I want to help you. It's a value add, you know, calling those listing agents, calling the folks that you're alumni, right? Calling all of them and just having the conversations. And it's just a drop in the hat, in the bucket. At the end of the day, again, it boils back to, hey, listen, being top of mind and being the educator and making sure that you are the expert and you're so bold that, you know, when they do make a decision to move, they wouldn't look another way. I just think everything that was packaged in that is just perfect. So I have to ask you, because you're on Lending Forward, how are you lending forward for the second half of the year?
Yeah. So, we are doing a couple of different things. You know, one of the things I do with my clients is we do boot camps. We do these one day boot camps, and And, you know, so we're rebuilding and redoing some of the proprietary, you know, listing agent, selling, buying agent. I keep saying selling agent, listing slash selling, buying. And client process, you know, the experience that they're having. We're really focusing on doing that. And we're up leveling our sales skills. You mentioned the, you know, the call reluctance stuff. I think if you look at it as a service call and not a sales call, and you have the approach when you call them is like, look, I'm here to serve you. I said I was here to serve you. What can I do? What is coming up? What can I do for you? So what we're doing is we're really honing in on sales skills. I'm doing a presentation class in a couple of weeks as well to help them get to really make it a movement, at least our little coaching program, to make it a movement to educate people on what's happening, because they're out there watching the news and they're not really understanding what's going on. And certainly most agents don't understand it. They sometimes do, but I think that we need to be sharing that with them. So that's what we're doing, is we're just making sure that education level is really heightened, and simultaneously making sure that we have the right, you know, I used to call it all the time, I check up from the right. We want to make sure that everybody is in a place that attracts clients rather than retracts them, right? Because of our attitude, our demeanor, our outlook on what's happening in the marketplace. So for me, lending forward and paying forward is really making sure that my students are equipped with every tool that they possibly could need in order to kill it when the time comes. And it's hard right now because you don't feel the results, but you can be working on those relationships right now, every single day.
Absolutely. I could not agree more with you. And we are just so excited for you. And we can't wait to see what the second half of the year brings. Let's do this again in a few months. Thank you for being on Lending Forward.
Of course. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for listening to the Lending Forward podcast powered by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. Don't forget to tune in next week and make sure you subscribe to our channel. Remember, we all play a part in lending forward. So go lend something forward today.